We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to The Uncontested Podcast, talking Oklahoma City Thunder basketball and the wider NBA.
Sam Presti said, lower the hatch, load up the cannon, and get the tank out rolling.
Catch new episodes after each Thunder game and every Sunday night.
This is a house of learning doctors.
Follow The Uncontested on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to catch new content as it drops.
I mean, a cat and a dog connected together?
This is Lou Dort. You're listening to The Uncontested.
What is up? Welcome to The Uncontested Podcast. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen, live on the Locker Room app. And I have my co-host, Taylor Peterson, along for the ride. Taylor, what's up, man?
I mean, look, I love the Locker Room app. I love it. But we're having some technical difficulties tonight. The host is able to speak through their microphone, their audio equipment. So you guys are stuck with me talking off of my cell phone, like the old-fashioned days.
You peasant.
Hey, it's like when you guys started up the Thunder Mom podcast. Well, it didn't really get started, but this is what you guys did when you recorded your first ever podcast episode.
Oh, yeah. Let's not bring that up, right?
In the archives.
let's leave that. God, those early ones were bad, man. They were bad.
I mean, just a little behind the scenes early on, Uncontested, when we finally got our group together. And we were trying to come up with a name. Jacob was still going by Thunder Mob on Twitter. So we said the Mobcast. And that's when we found out about Jacob's secret podcast that never kicked off.
Yep. Yep. I've been through the ringer with the podcasts, man. But hey, we now have the Uncontested, the GOAT podcast, if I do say so myself. No, we take tons of influences from other NBA pods. I think it's impossible to have an NBA podcast and not do that.
True.
Taylor, before we dive in today, we are finishing up Thunder player grades. We were going to do a week on shooting guards and a week on point guards, but there would only be two players each week, so we decided to combine the two, and we're going to end a week early and do some probably some draft stuff next week before the draft lottery, which will happen 2 weeks from now. Lottery.
I'm getting more and more anxious, more and more excited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? Speaking of, before I ask you what I was going to ask you, we're going to do a spin live right here.
Oh, yeah.
Right
now we're talking.
I'm ready. Okay. Those of you in the chat, I know you guys can't see my screen, but we are spinning the Tankathon sim right now. Here we go. Taylor, tell me your guess before I hit the sim button.
Oh, I'm going to go 318 on the first one.
318. Here we go. Oh, 618.
Dang it.
Not good. Spinning it again. 618. Whoa. Spinning it again. There it is, Taylor. 318.
Okay. Okay.
318. I have pressed sim lottery so damn much on this website. 3/4 of Tankathon's traffic is just me. That's all it is. Taylor, anything from the playoffs that jump out to you since the last time we talked?
Oh, man. Well, obviously, Luka and the Mavericks get eliminated. Kawhi just went unreal. However, speaking of that, last night's game, the Jazz, seeing Donovan Mitchell just go toe-to-toe with Kawhi there, especially down the stretch. Kawhi struggled some, but you have to give a lot of credit to how the Jazz defended him. And also, I think him and PG were just off in general. Regardless, I think that's going to be a really fun series. And I really was wrong about Donovan Mitchell early on, and he continues to gain a fan in me. Big Donovan Mitchell guy. And then also, the series that's on tonight, game two being the Suns and the Nuggets. Again, just another series. Everybody was talking about the Bucks and the Nets, but that Suns Nuggets series was the one I was most excited for. And game one did not disappoint. The first quarter has not disappointed so far of game two. I'm really excited. It's great to see and also hear reports from Chris Haynes today that Chris Paul's hopefully close to being completely healthy with that shoulder, nerve, injury, whatever he was battling there in round one. So with a healthy Chris Paul, and obviously with Booker doing what he's doing, and Ayton being dominant, shout out to Kamiar. We were talking about that in our Slack before we jumped on here. Just really fun stuff. And I am kind of excited to see how the Nuggets can respond. What can Jokic and MVP do?
Yeah, and Will Barton back for the Nuggets tonight, which is a big deal.
Big, big, good point.
I'm really excited about a lot of these series, but I just can't shake the inevitable disappointment that the Brooklyn Nets are going to win the title.
Yeah, it
just can't shake it. Way.
Even without James Harden, they're just so dominant.
Makes me mad.
Yeah, agree. But at the same time, I don't know. We haven't gotten to see Kevin Durant. I feel a certain way about Kevin Durant that many people in OKC still feel. But with that being said, there's nothing quite like watching Pete KD, healthy KD, in the NBA. And it's been really kind of nice and refreshing to see, but he hasn't gotten to do it in long stretches. He really hasn't been challenged yet since coming back. So what I really want to see is a game where he just goes full KD. That's something I'm kind of looking forward to, as crazy as that sounds. But at the same time, I'm with you. It just almost feels inevitable. So I'm hoping when Western Conference teams can come out and get them a run for their money.
Hey, Philly Atlanta has been really fun so far as well. True. I still have Philly in that series. And Taylor, you and I talked a little bit about this last night, but it kind of feels like hopefully we're on a collision course for a Phoenix Utah Western Conference Finals. And those teams are very, very similar. And so
we were tweeting about this. Was it last night? Yeah.
Yeah, it was last night. Both teams have a vet. Yeah. They have a vet point guard. They have a superstar shooting guard.
Yep.
They have defensive-minded bigs. They have
very talented young bigs. I mean,
yes,
Gobert is still fairly young.
Jitterbug backup point guards.
Yep.
Clarkson
campaign.
Yep. Long, rangy, defensive-minded wings.
Yep.
In Bridges and in O'Neal. Both teams shoot a lot of threes. It's just there's a lot of similarities.
And then you have Quinn Snyder versus Monty Williams as well, which is a fun chess match there.
It would be fun. It would definitely be fun. Only other thought I had on the playoffs, you talked about the Utah series. I tweeted this last night, but I also want to be on the record on the podcast. I see a little bit of Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Suggs, and that gets me really, really excited.
Mm-hmm. It's the scoring. And the scoring threat.
The scoring and hot. The power athleticism.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, that's he's very explosive.
Donnie is explosive. a little bulky, right?
Yep.
But he's definitely like a 2-footed jumper, practical athleticism type of guy.
They're both fast. I can't talk. Gosh, tongue twisters. Fast twitch athletes, 100%.
Yes.
That stuff is so powerful and quick.
I think the Drew Holiday, Donovan Mitchell comps for Jalen Suggs are definitely there. And holy God, if you can get that guy in Oklahoma City, sign me up.
I mean, yeah, you know, I've been a huge Jalen Green guy. As far as one of my, I mean, outside of Cade, probably my top favorite top five prospect there. But again, I mean, I'm very, very, very sold on Suggs next to SGA if the Thunder are fortunate enough. I mean, you really can't go wrong. Mobley's probably the one, maybe even more so than Kuminga, that I'm like least excited about, which we'll get into in the coming weeks. But even then, if the Thunder drafted them, I'd be the number one Mobley fan.
Yeah.
The very next day. So again, just really excited for June 22nd. But that is a fun comparison there, Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Green. I like that player comp.
I love Donnie Mitchell, and if the Thunder could get a guy like him, man, sign me up. All right, Taylor, let's jump into these player grades. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, we are doing both shooting guards and point guards tonight, so we will have four players. We are handing out grades to Svi Mykhailiuk, Lu Dort, Teo Maledone, and Ty Jerome. Go ahead.
Really quick disclaimer again, just for the second week, because I know some of you all are tuning in, didn't listen to last week's, etc. We did group Shea into the small forward simply because, again, one, timing and just having enough players to talk about each week at the position. Two, on Basketball Reference, that was what they listed him at, playing the most minutes as. Yes, when he's on the court, he's playing point guard. He's handling the ball primarily. But when you, like, for example, I think it was last season where you have Chris Paul and Lu Dort and Shea all starting. They did list Shea as a small forward. So you go onto the Thunder website, it actually shows both Shea and Jerome, this was interesting, as guard forward. Now, yes, Shea's a point guard. But all that being said, we covered him last week. Yes, and go back and listen to that for his grades. Compare him to the guards in this week if you want to. But that's what Shea's included.
Yes, no, thank you for that, Taylor. And yeah, we know Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is the main ball handler, right? We got a little bit of pushback on Twitter from this past week. We are very aware of that. Like, we use our eyeballs when we watch basketball. We were just strictly going off what Basketball Reference has, the projected percentage time at each position. So that's where that comes from. Also, if you have not listened to the previous player grades, we are grading based off of expectations for the player coming into the season, their performance, their stats, their growth throughout the year, their impact on winning, and then lastly, their contract, kind of taking everything into account. So Taylor, with that said, I will let you start us off. Tell us a little bit about what you thought of Svi Mykhailiuk.
I was wondering where you're going to start. Okay, so with Svi, again, a guy kind of a, obviously in the Hamidou Diallo trade, was very tough seeing Hami go, my beloved Hami, especially after a little bit of a resurgence here in the first part of the season with the Thunder. Last season was very bad for Hami. You guys can go back and listen to our podcast and see my tweets. So when Svi came in, I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I thought it was a great gamble on a guy who kind of struggled early on in his career. Or I shouldn't say early on in his career. It's only been 2 years, but he's been on, what, three different teams now. That's kind of crazy. All that being said, Svi, I wasn't really sure what to expect with him coming in. Knew he was known to be a shooter. Didn't really know a lot else. But all that being said, expectations, I think, is the first thing that sticks out to me. Low expectations heading in, and he exceeded those. Funny enough, it was like that first like 2 weeks or so that he was on the team, was starting to get playing time. He wasn't really, lighting it up from outside. It was his dunks and his defense that really stood out to us. You guys can go back and listen to that. That was a fun stretch of the season there where, again, the Thunder were definitely starting the whole tank, if you want to call it how it is, in the second part of the season. But guys like Svi having highlights and playing as well as he was really fun. Again, just like there's one point, I think, like in a, off the top of my head, it was like a 3 or 4 game span, maybe it was a 2 week span, where he had more dunks in that span than he did in his, entire time at Detroit prior. So that right there was a lot of fun, but he did start to find his stroke. And I was looking at Basketball Reference, looking at some of his stats and some things that jumped out to me with OKC. If you compare the second half of his season, essentially, it was almost the halfway mark when he got traded to OKC. He was shooting 37.7% from the field with Detroit on 6.2 attempts overall. He basically raised his attempts, his field goal attempts per game by about three. So he averaged 9.4 field goal attempts per game, which seems like a lot with OKC. Again, he was getting a lot more playing time. But the biggest thing for me is that was on 43.8% from the field. Field goal efficiency, which is kind of the biggest one I always like to look at, 52.3% from the field, which would be the second best of his career. He 2019 through 2020 with Detroit, he shot a little or had a little better field goal efficiency. All that to say, I was pretty impressed with Spee. Also, his defense. Again, he was able to use his size, his aggressiveness, and there was times. Again, it's hard to judge with some of the lineups that he was playing with in that latter part of the season. But he did kind of come off the bench there and was almost a sort of spark plug for that second unit, which again, more of a third or fourth unit. But definitely a guy I could see sticking around and potentially getting one of those last roster spots next season, as crazy as that sounds. And I think if you would have told me that I'd be saying this at this point in the off season prior to the trade happening, I'd be very surprised. So I think all that to say, the biggest thing for me with Spee was just the expectations versus reality. He definitely blew my expectations out of the water because I didn't really have much for him heading into the trade.
Yeah, I agree on the expectations aspect. You know, I didn't know what to expect from him. You kind of ran through all the stats that I was going to mention as well. So we've kind of already covered that as well. Svi is interesting to me a little bit. I don't want to call him old. He's just about, he'll turn, oh, wow. When this podcast drops, he will officially be on his 24th birthday.
Oh, wow. Oh, 24. Holy cow.
Yeah,
that's
so
younger than I thought.
Yeah, so he's still pretty young. Huh. Interesting player. Like you mentioned, he's known as a shooter, but for his career only shoots 36%, which is right around league average.
Yep.
This season total between both Detroit and Oklahoma City shot about 33% on 4.8 attempts a game. So not a ton from Svi on the shooting aspect. I think he is the kind of guy who can space the floor that you want. I don't have a ton of, you know, hopes for his ceiling, but, you know, he might end up being like a long-term, just a nice rotational piece. So Taylor, what are we going to give Svi for a grade?
I mean, as highly as like, as I seem to talk about him there, people probably expect me to give him like in the B range, but just like you said, the ceiling, I don't know. He didn't blow me out of the water. And again, what he was doing was against oftentimes some decent talent, but not really with, he's had way more opportunity than I think he's going to have moving forward. Now that could be a good thing. That means he could fit alongside some of these other guys, maybe a little better with a more specific role moving forward in coming seasons. But it also gives me a little bit of hesitation as well. I don't know. I'm really torn on him. So for that reason alone, I think I'm going to go with the C+. Maybe that's a little harsh if we're taking expectations into that. But I think C+ is pretty fair just for his play overall.
I think that's good. I was going to go B-.
Okay. Yep.
So that brings up the question. And I think Nate here in the chat asks, do we think they will re-sign Svi? Or will they let him walk? And Taylor, just for reference, on roster for the Thunder next season, Al Horford, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they can decide to bring back Gabriel Deck. So that's three. Poku, Bazley, Jerome, Maladone, Williams, Dort, Roby. That's 10 guys right there. And then you're looking at probably at least three draft picks coming in. That puts you at 13.
Right. Five draft picks in this coming draft. You include the second rounders.
Uh-huh.
You consolidate, but even then.
You have, and that didn't include guys like Moses Brown.
Yep. Jalen Horde.
Tony Bradley. Mike Muscala coming back. So yep. Does Svi find himself back on the Thunder next year?
So in like a normal year. In seasons past, I think the Presley would want to re-sign him just to be able to even work out like a sign and trade or be able to trade him down the line or whatever it may be. But like you said, just the way the roster is shaped out with all the different bodies that OKC has and more youth coming in, I think they're just going to go ahead and let him walk. You know, and Spee was able to kind of show what he's able to do on the court this season. And hopefully that's enough to get him picked up by another team.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think I would probably agree with you. If I had to place a bet right now, I would say they probably let him walk. But that's a hard one to kind of gauge.
It is, definitely.
So let's go on to the next guy, and I'll kickstart us here. Sorry, I'm stealing your guy, Taylor.
No. Oh.
Our next one on the list, the one and only, the GOAT, the Liu Tang Clan, Dortal Combat. The Dortcher Chamber himself, Lou Dort. For the season, Lou averaged 14 points a game on 39% shooting. He was 34% from three on 6.3 attempts a game. 1.7 assists, 3.6 rebounds. Let's put that in comparison to his previous season. Lou over doubled his points per game. He over doubled his assists per game. He over doubled his 3-point attempts per game and jumped by 4 percentage points. He did drop a little bit on his 2-point percentage points. He nearly doubled his free throw attempts per game. His jump from last season to this season, massive. And I think he, from last season to this season, Lou has proven to us that he is not just a defensive specialist, that he can offer you something offensively. At worst, he is a very confident offensive player, which is what you want very much. I mean, go talk to Terrence Ferguson about losing your confidence on offense. Lou also just turned 22 years old in April, incredibly young on arguably the best contract in the NBA. I'm trying to find him here. Lou next season will make $1.7 million, and the season after that will make $1.9 million. Just an absolute steal of a contract. I think if he went on the open market this summer, he's looking at $12 to $15 million a year. So the Thunder have an absolute steal in him. Taylor, one of the biggest things just for the Thunder season in general this year for me was the growth of Lou Dort.
100%, especially I think the most interesting thing to me was even when Shea was out long term, when they initially diagnosed him with plantar fasciitis and he was sitting out, Lou was kind of, they kind of had him like sitting every other game, trying to rest him as well because, you know, he battled some minor injuries throughout the season. But when Lou was the focal point on both ends of the floor, for that matter, I mean, on the offensive end, he still was putting up ridiculous numbers without Shea, with taking a bigger role on the offensive end. We saw his offense develop. And that's something that was extremely exciting for all Thunder fans and really kind of a bright spot in what otherwise was kind of a rough end to the season of, you know, losing games and whatnot. Like seeing Lou do what he did and take the steps, especially on the offensive end that he did, was really fun. But not only that, just some of the moments, like you mentioned, that he gave us. Obviously, you have the game winner. Right, where he's kind of doing the now famous Booker pose, where he's
on
his back with his hands up, everybody swarming him. Again, a game winning three that just seeing Lou do that of all people after struggling some. I mean, I know he had his playoffs. He had his game seven that we've talked about from the bubble, but seeing him do that was such a fun moment. But then obviously the biggest thing that sticks out to me is the Doherty 40 versus the Jazz, nonetheless. He's guarding Donovan Mitchell the entire time. I don't want to say he shut Donovan Mitchell, you know, down or by any means, but definitely played solid defense on him, held him to a pretty respectable stat line. Meanwhile, he has 42 points, a career high, on 7 made 3-point attempts, a career high. Only one player has scored more points before turning 22 in OKC franchise history. That was Kevin Durant. Dort was also the second player in Thunder franchise. Well, I mentioned that, 21 or younger. Joining KD, but he was also the youngest player in franchise history that same game with 40 points and 4 steals, just to mention him doing it on both ends of the floor. Another fun stat, fifth undrafted player in the last 30 years to score 40 plus in a game, which is kind of fun names. Damian Wilkins, CJ Watson, Anthony Morrow, and Fred VanVleet. And then there's that stretch, you know, I talked about the 42-point game, but the two games prior, he had 29 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Again, this is all with Shea out. It's just him. Sorry, I keep talking into my microphone because I have it right here out of habit, forgetting that my phone's like down
That's
here
funny.
Where I usually hold it. That, man. Anyways, I mentioned all of that to say, seeing what Lou was able to do without Shea was so exciting. And I think, like we've talked about Lou and Shea playing alongside CP3 last season, that paying dividends down the road. And we kind of started to see that with both of those players this season. But I think even more so, Lou doing what he did, having more opportunity to develop his offensive game. We know what he can do on the defensive end. Like, for example, when he was guarding LeBron, another very fun moment there when he's moving his hands all around that final possession, shuts him down, and LeBron misses a shot in the clutch. That's a fun memory as well. But all that to say, I think we're going to see this pay dividends for Lou moving forward, getting to play like he was without Shea.
Completely agree. Yeah. And Trey in the chat says Dort and Baze, for that matter, are also now about to get their first real off season and summer league. This year is going to be interesting for them. Yes. Completely agree. It's going to be really important for both of them to get a full off season of weightlifting, of being in the gym with the NBA coaches and all that. So very, very important for them as well. So that's a great point there by Trey. Taylor, at the end of the day, when I'm looking at expectations, I'm looking at impact on winning. I'm looking at contract. I'm looking at stats. Dort gets an A for me.
Oh, yeah. I was even going to say A+, just because I don't know if any of us knew really what to expect with the season in general. And to do what he did with that, like I said, that that bigger platform, I think, especially with Shea out. But I think A is fair. A is very fair.
Yeah, he has been incredible. God, you got to love Lou, man. Everyone around the league loves Lou.
But I think that's the other thing too, is like he kind of cemented himself this season. I don't want to call him a core building block in terms of like a superstar you build around, like the Thunder building around Shea, but he certainly is very, very close to untouchable. Right?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It'd have to be a very intriguing deal for the Thunder to move on from Lou. Like you said, especially with his contract, but even more
so. Yeah, that contract is just so good. Nate in the chat says, just because we gave Shea an A, he would go A- for Lou. Shea is definitely better than Lou Dort. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But I think when you look at contract and expectation, Lou gets a nice little bump there. Trey says A+, pleasure to have in class. I love it. I love it.
Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Taylor, you get to lead us off on this next one. We're going to one of the rookies of the team this year, Teo Maledon.
Teo. So Teo, speaking of a guy, kind of mixed expectations heading into it. Drafted late in the draft, a guy that Tony Parker protege. You know, we talked about that quite a bit heading into the season. Tony Parker saying that.
What? Tony Parker protege? I haven't even heard this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was mentioned once or twice on Twitter, I think. And then obviously the Tony Parker quote saying that, you know, that he would have been, you know, up there with Killian Hayes if they had similar platforms, whatever the case was, similar roles on their teams. And so I really wasn't sure what to expect with Teo. But I will say, after those first couple of preseason games, I'm going to toot my own horn here, Jacob. We had our preseason bets, and one of my preseason bets was that after All-Star break, Teo would be starting alongside Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander may have been injured, but Teo was starting nevertheless. I think that counts. And he did really well, I think, with his playing time overall. Again, definitely some rookie mistakes. And when you're handling the offense like that, that's going to be tough. But the thing that stuck out to me the most about Teo on offense, I mean, he has great, great vision. Some of those passes he made were just like next level, pretty incredible. Like, you didn't really expect that from him. I think that's only going to continue. Now, he did have his fair share of turnovers, and that's going to happen, especially with, again, the lineups that they were throwing out there in the latter half of the season. But the most impressive thing on the offensive end for me was Teo's three-point shooting. The most 3 points made by teenage rookies, Teo ranked 10th. The players in front of him are kind of interesting. You have Devin Booker, Stephon Marbury, Jason Tatum, Jamal Murray, Kevin Knox, which is really funny. He's up fifth. D'Lo, Kobe White, Anthony Edwards, Luka. Pretty great list to be a part of. He also broke the single rookie made 3-point record for OKC this season. So that was really big as well. And then also his defense. He held up really well on the defensive end of the floor, guarding opposing point guards, some really good point guards at that. And I think what he showed me, Jacob, is that he can – I mean, this is tough because you have quite a few talented guards that we'd love to see paired with Shai at the top of this upcoming draft if the Thunder are fortunate to land a top-five pick. But even then, Teo showed that he can be a super versatile ball handler guard that can play alongside a Shai, that can play alongside other ball handlers and scorers and still be able to contribute on both ends. So I was very impressed with Teo overall. Can't wait to continue to see his growth. I think this is it. You know, we talked about this being a big offseason for Poku, gaining weight and size and continuing to hone in on his game. You know, we've talked about Shai and Lou and some of these other guys, but I think this is a big offseason for Teo as well. So very high on Teo.
I agree. Here's my thing about Teo is, ooh, Thunder Dustin in the chat says Teo equals young, old George Hill. Young, old George Hill. I like that. I think you're being like young, like the older version. Nick, our boy Nick, live from the beach of Costa Rica in the chat saying Teo is the best French player in the NBA. I love it. All the smoke for the Utah fans. I love it, Nick.
Defense player of the year.
Here is my thing with Teo, Taylor. He is a very solid basketball player. He's under control. He's not rushed. For the most part, for a rookie, he makes the right plays and the right reads. Nothing there I worry about. He does lack a sense of explosiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like Thunder Dustin says, he's super poised and under control. But sometimes you want that little bit of recklessness just because you want him to try some shit.
Right.
Right. And to me, that puts a pretty defined ceiling on what Tao can be in the league. I hate putting ceilings on guys because I look like a jackass because I do. And then they blow those ceilings out of the water. I like Tao a lot, but to me, his ceiling is like a bench game manager type of player, right? Like I think not style of play, but like career trajectory. I see a little bit of like DJ Augustine here.
Yeah. Or like a Rubio.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I don't think his ceiling is super high, but I think for what he is and where he was picked, he is just fine. I'm going to be interested to see how he develops moving forward. But yeah, he gave me more than I expected as far as expectations right. This year, for sure. Right. For sure. You mentioned his defense a little bit. He's got to get better defensively. And again,
he was just a
19-year-old rookie.
Exactly.
You know, you can't hold it against him. But like, I remember whenever they played the Golden State Warriors and Tao just had no clue what the F was going on, right. You know, so that's an interesting one. Our guy Thunder Dustin actually wants to hop up here real quick and I think has some Tao thoughts. So let's get Dustin in here.
Hey guys, thanks for having me up. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to share a funny little tidbit about Tao. So like,
I
cover the draft, you know, pretty much every year. And like, I'm in a huge like draft chat on Twitter where, you know, there's guys from all different backgrounds. You know, some are just casual, you know, casuals and just do it as a hobby. And some are actually involved in agencies and stuff like that. And we talk about these players all year. And last year, I remember specifically, we had one guy in our chat that had Tao Maledon number one overall. And when I asked him why he had Tao number one on his big board, he said he projects to be the best shooter out of all of these guys. And wouldn't you know it, he comes into the league and just tears it up from a three-point shooting standpoint. But, yeah, I mean, Tao, you know, it's not surprising to me that he's shooting well. His form coming in was amazing. And Jacob, you hit the nail on the head. He plays with a lot of control. One of the things that really stood out to me that I knew would help his translation immediately to the NBA was he's just incredibly patient as a ball handler. While he doesn't have that explosiveness and that athleticism that you would like to have from, you know, a lead ball handler, he waits for the right situation to develop, the right play to develop, waits for that window to open, and he makes, you know, just amazing passes, and that really opens things up for the offense. But, you know, defensively, you know, due to his lack of, you know, explosiveness, it does tend to hinder him. He needs to get a little stronger, but hey, he's super young, still has a lot of room to grow. But yeah, I just wanted to share that. I just thought that was an interesting tidbit. Big fan of Tao Thunder.
Hey, thanks, Dustin. That's awesome. And I love that perspective. Yeah. And you know, he did shoot the ball, Taylor, really well this season. You definitely have to give that up to him. And there has to be something said for that patience coming from a 19-year-old coming to the best league, the best basketball league in the world, right? There is a, you hear all the time about how players get to the NBA and the game is just fast and it takes it a while. A lot of players say the game is slowed down for me, right? For Tao to be able to come in and play patiently and just be a game manager like he is, I mean, that shows a huge level of maturity that a lot of rookies don't have.
At 100%. Like you said, I think that that sense of professionalism that he gained playing overseas, playing alongside other pros, it definitely showed early on. Like both of you guys mentioned just now, Dustin and Jacob both, the poise, I think is huge for Tao. I think the biggest question and the most interesting thing to keep an eye on, just like you said, Jacob, is ceiling. And especially like as OKC continues to and Presley continues to build this roster, build this team. You know, where does he really fit with that? Is he a sixth man? It's going to be really interesting.
Totally agree. So, Taylor, where are we grading Tao at?
Ooh, I think for this season specifically, his rookie season, and taking like even some of his struggles in that latter part of the season when he was the main point for the offense, or facilitator of the offense. I think I'm gonna give him a B.
I think
when we come back like next season and grade him lower if he doesn't take a big enough jump.
I think B is fair. I think B is fair. All right, our last guy, and I will start us off on this one, a guy that I am very, very excited to talk about. Our last player in the player grades for the Oklahoma City Thunder, we have Ty Jerome.
Love it.
Yeah, so let's jump into Ty a little bit here. Did not play the beginning of the season due to a pretty severe ankle sprain that he suffered, I think, on the first day of camp, Taylor, if that is correct.
Yep.
Was out all the way up until he went down to the G League bubble, got some time there, and then came back up and then played a lot for the Thunder. Learning this live on the pod here for the first time, Basketball Reference has Ty Jerome's nickname as Milk.
Milk. I saw that. That was interesting. Our good friends over at the Timeline Podcast, a Blue Wire Phoenix Suns podcast, they're very busy right now. But they told us heading into the season that Phoenix Suns fans like to call him Tiger Jerome, especially when he gets shooting. Like we got to see him get hot from three quite a bit this season.
I love it. Tiger Jerome. Hit up Justin. Let's get the shirts made.
Yeah, there we go.
Ty played 33 games this year, only 31 last season. This season, he averaged 10.7 points a game, 2.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, shot a blistering 42.3% from the three-point line. Crazy. On 5 attempts a game, 57% effective field goal percentage. Taylor, I've talked about Ty a lot during the season. The kid's just got juice, man. Like, he walks out on the court and he thinks he is the best player out there. And I absolutely freaking love it. Like, he's got so much sauce. He does not care. The way he plays, the way he passes, the way he pulls up, just elite level confidence guy. And I just love the hell out of it. I am a big Ty Jerome fan. Ty will be 24 years old before the draft hits. He'll be 24 on July 8th, so a little bit on the older side, but still 2 more years left on his rookie scale deal. I had no clue what my expectations were for Ty coming in, but I've been very pleasantly surprised with how he's played, with the style of basketball he plays. This is going to sound blasphemous, and the people listening to the podcast are probably going to yell at their phones or at their car radio or whatever, scream in the gym when they hear this. The people hot in the chat sound right now. Yeah. I need to get the hot take sounder on here. The people in the chat here on Locker Room are probably going to blow up and leave the room. I am not comparing Ty to this player. Okay. Are we clear? I am just saying he has shades of this player in his game. Okay. He has a little bit of Steph Curry in him.
Oh,
he's nowhere near Steph Curry. Don't get me wrong. He is like the homeless man's Steph Curry, not even the poor man, the homeless man's Steph Curry. But the way he shoots from distance, his passing, just his swagger out there, he's got some Steph to him. And I freaking love
he's
it,
just
man.
Like, and he's also slow. He's slow, Steph. But I like that because, like you said, I mean, that shooting form is just so pure.
He can shoot the shit out of it, man.
And he can shoot it from deep. Like, really.
Yeah, he's 6'5". He's got some nice size to him.
But the other thing, too, is you look at his assist numbers, like you mentioned. I mean, he has the most assists or the second most assists behind Shea on the team. Again, a little more limited sample size compared to some of the other players who played the entire season. But regardless, I really love what we saw from Ty. And not only that, Jacob, but like you said, not only is he not afraid to shoot the ball, he's not afraid to drive to the rim either, and either create for teammates or try and finish around the rim.
Yeah, dude, I love his passing. I love his passing.
His vision is big time.
He's just so much fun. And Taylor, whenever I look at Ty Jerome, I don't see like, ooh, Shea's running mate in the backcourt or whatever. Like, that's not a thing. But I see a guy who has the chance to be a career, like, sixth man spark plug, like super sub, come in and run the offense type of guy, just a gunner.
100%. I agree completely.
And you need those types of guys. And man, I love watching this kid play.
I cannot find a stat. It was a very limited stat, but Valley Sports tweeted out at one point an image, or sorry, not tweeted out. They on their broadcast had an image in the second half of the season when Ty was playing really well, going through a really good stretch. And like there, it was a certain stretch of games. Again, it was a kind of a selective stat, but still a big enough sample size that made me like, you know, I think I even tweeted it out and I can't find it now, of course. But regardless, he ranked like top 10 in bench scores in the league for like I can't remember. I want to say it was like a month or 2 month period. So just seeing his growth, I think overall is something that was really promising to me. And like you said, just I think that mentality that he has on both ends of the floor can take him very far. And obviously the Thunder really like him as well.
Yeah. Hey, how about this for a comp? A little bit slower Dennis Schroeder.
Huh. I don't know about that because I don't like view Dennis as like a 3-point threat.
That's true.
He shoots respectable. But I like the role. I like it's the same.
Okay. What about let's go Steph's brother?
Yeah, Seth. I like that. I see like Seth that a lot.
Like, I think Ty Jerome could be like a in the running for 6 minutes of the year kind of guy eventually in his career.
Wow. See, that's pretty big. But
is that too high?
Again, you compare him to a guy like Jordan Clarkson, and like it's not far-fetched to think that Ty Jerome could be there in 2 years.
You want to talk about the guy with the greenest light in the NBA, Jordan freaking Clarkson.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Yeah. You have Ty Jerome slow-mo and Jordan Clarkson like the Flash.
Yeah. Hey, Taylor, we have some people that want to hop up and I think speak about Ty Jerome real quick. So let's get them up here. I'm going to jump Marcus Kruger and Thunder Dustin getting back up here again. Marcus, did you have some Ty Jerome thoughts?
I was just going to say Del Curry.
That's well, just I keeping like it all in the Curry family, man. I like it. I like that comp. Dustin, what do you have?
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of like touch on, you know, where Ty Jerome was at before he was traded to the Thunder, because, you know, it's just funny to me that like so many people are just like, oh wow, like Ty Jerome, what a surprise. But like if you go back, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. If you go back and you watch, you know, some of his like full game, like highlights when he was with Phoenix towards the end of the season, I think before he got hurt, he was defending at a very high level. You know, not obviously not like one of the best perimeter defenders in the league or anything, but like
he's kind of a bulldog though. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like he moves his feet well. He's extremely smart. He's got an extremely high basketball IQ, which, you know, definitely helps him out because he's not the most athletic guy, but he's not like unathletic at all. Right. You know, he's just sort of like, you know, like decently average. And that's okay in the NBA, right? But you know, this guy can, you know, he can pass the rock. You know, he was shooting it well in Phoenix. He was just doing everything. And, you know, people just sort of saw him as this like, you know, throw in the CP3 trade. But I thought he was like, you know, one of the main pieces that Presti probably asked for, because I mean, the guy can just flat out play. I mean, if you watched him at Virginia, I mean, he was a big time, you know, he's got game. And to me, it was just like, oh, does he come back? I think it was a foot injury he had, if I'm not mistaken. But I wrote about him, you know, earlier in the season, and I talked about if he can get healthy from that foot injury, he's going to be a contributor for us, and he's done exactly that. But I kind of like see him as sort of like Rondo with a shot, because Rondo can defend, you know, like late stage Rondo, of course, like Rondo can defend.
I do like that. He's like Rondo with range.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he's got some size, you know, over other point guards.
One thing we haven't mentioned is the size. I'm glad you brought that up. These I don't want to call them jumbo point guards, but I think that's a good point because that does help them, especially on the defensive end of the floor. I think that's important to look at. That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he just has a really good understanding of, like, you know, what defenses are doing and what is available to him. And I think that's something that, you know, Rondo has also absolutely displayed throughout his career, just understanding, like, okay, I can get to this spot, I can't get to this spot, and here's what's going to be open. But he can actually shoot it, right? And that's what, you know, he might not be the same defender that Rondo is, but I think that, you know, it's okay because he can hit that three, and he's going to be a really good role player. You know, like you said, maybe a bench spark plug for, you know, some contender in the near future, I would guess, because I think with, like, on our trajectory, I think, you know, Ty Jerome probably gets moved in a deal, if I had to guess, but it'll be because we're bringing in a younger guy with more upside, because that's just the Presti way.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot, Dustin. And I'm just going to reiterate what I've said here multiple times. He's my guy, man. And maybe my favorite thing about him is the Ty-Shea bromance.
That's a good point.
Those two dudes really like each other, and that makes me enjoy it even more. So, Taylor, we have to give a grade for Ty Jerome. What are you going to go with here?
So, my guy Silver, always coming in the clutch. He found the image for me. Now, granted, it doesn't give a range. Just says since April 8th. So this is towards the end of the season, though, when they posted this, and it's still pretty impressive. Total points off the bench. You have Derrick Rose at first with 240, D'Lo with 237 in second, Carmelo with 224 at three, Frank Jackson, that's kind of interesting, 217 at four, Jordan Clarkson, potential sixth man of the year candidate. Or definitely a candidate, potentially.
He won sixth man.
Or he did. Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, he already won it. So with 186, Ty Jerome with 185. Again, limited as well because of his injury. So pretty impressive there with Ty. All that being said, I think I want to give Ty like an A minus, just
all
factors. Given, you know, especially the expectations factor, which I talked a lot about on this podcast.
Taylor's generous with the grades, man. You should not be a teacher, Taylor. You just pass everybody.
For everyone.
I'm giving Ty a B+.
Okay. I like that.
I'm giving him a B+. So to recap our night, Taylor, we gave Svi Mihailuk a B- and said that he will probably not be back with the Thunder. We gave Lou Dort an A. We gave Teo Maledon a B and Ty Jerome a B+. If you want to hear all of our other grades for guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kenrich Williams, Poku, Isaiah Roby, Darius Bazley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, make sure to listen to the previous episodes where we have graded all those guys. But Taylor, this has been a fun little activity for us. Activity is not the right word. It sounds like we're putting together Legos in the bedroom. A fun thought experiment, I guess, on grading these guys and kind of looking forward to the future. I'm excited to see what the Thunder do over the off season and what types of players we get to give letter grades for this time next year. So
yes, and starting next week, starting a little draft prospect breakdown. I have to get Thunder Dustin up here since I didn't realize he's covering the draft. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yes, and next week I will not be on the Wednesday show. Taylor and some of the other co-hosts will be on Wednesday to run that. We will do a little bit of draft preview, I think, next Wednesday, Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
try and do a little bit of talk as well.
Yeah, the next Wednesday after that is June 23rd, which is a day after the NBA draft lottery.
And I, of course, will be out of town, but nevertheless, I should be touched down in my destination and get to watch the lottery. I just won't be in Oklahoma.
So, can't wait to get into draft stuff. We have a ton of draft guests lined up. Depending on where the Thunder's picks fall, we're going to get a lot of guests on to talk about specific players cannot freaking wait for it, Taylor. It is going to be a blast. It's also very convenient that all of the uncontested hosts have scheduled our vacations staggered.
That's true.
Call me or Nick this week, me next week, you in 2 weeks. That way we're all fresh and ready to go whenever July gets here.
Without internet and his house is fried and just
actually poor Justin.
But still, yeah.
Poor Justin. All right. Well, Taylor, any parting thoughts before we get off of here?
We do have some Horford and Kimba and Horford for KP talk. We'll dive into that. Be sure to tune in on Friday. We'll have our next locker room hangout of the week.
And yes, definitely. Sure, and we'll probably talk that on Sunday on the live stream as well, because the Sunday show will go up in podcast form. And I want to make sure we get on the record with our Kemba and Porzingis talk. Actually, Taylor, to preview a little bit for Sunday, which speaking of, I will not be on the show Sunday. I posted a tweet today asking people, who is a great like buy low candidate that's still on their rookie scale deal who needs a change of scenery? Got a lot of interesting names that we could talk about as well. So
love it.
Yes, very good. All right. Well, guys, we will get out of here. Make sure you tune in Friday night on the Locker Room app as we'll be hosting a hangout. And then Sunday, 9 p.m. Central Time, as always, for the live stream. Until then, you guys have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the NBA playoffs, and we will chat with you soon. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in a new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series now streaming on Showtime.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.